Energy and Environment to order. And folks that are here to testify today, welcome. We have a couple of minutes that I need to get through some work sessions on pending bills, and that shouldn't take very long, and then I'll get to the public testimony on the water bills. So stand by, and I will be trying to get on the public testimony on the water bills. I'm going to get to those folks that have traveled more than 100 miles as soon as I can, so if you want to get back on the road tonight, you can. So I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2134, and I would, Beth, can you give us a background on that?
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2134, you heard on 3-6. There is a revenue impact issued and a fiscal statement issued on this bill. There's a -3 amendment on OLIS that directs the Public Utility Commission, replaces the original measure, and then directs the Public Utility Commission to establish an amount that each electric company should charge consumers. So the total forecasted collection amount in 2018 is $20 million for the low-income bill payment assistance.
Okay, very good. I'd accept a motion.
Chair Holm, I move to adopt the -3 amendment dated 3-6-2017.
Rep. Power moves to adopt the -3 amendment dated March 6, 2017. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? No objection. Then the amendment is adopted.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2134 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 2134 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative
Barnhart? Aye.
Representative
Fentz? Aye.
Representative
Boone?
Excused.
Representative
Holby?
Aye.
Representative Rusty?
Aye.
Representative
Johnson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Powers?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. And we'll need a carrier for that bill. Anybody want to volunteer? Representative Benz. Thank you. Committee, I'm going to jump to House Bill 3055 now. So I'm opening a work session on House Bill 3055.
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 3055, you heard on 315. House Bill 3055 would clarify current law that requires for 2-acre land units that the unit before the adjustment is 2 acres in size or smaller, and for 5-acre land units that the unit before the adjustment is 5 acres or smaller. There's a no revenue impact and a no fiscal impact on the measure.
Thank you. I accept a motion on this bill.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 3055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 3055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative
Benz? Aye.
Representative
Excuse.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative
Leschke? Aye.
Representative
Brockman?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Johnson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Powers?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. You know, I'll carry this bill.
Why would you want to credit to it?
Because I, that's a good suggestion, Representative Johnson. Thank you. Let's give that to Representative Vile. I'll hand him my problem. Okay. All right. At this time, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2510. I'd accept a motion on this bill.
Chair Helm, I move to adopt the -1 amendment dated 2-16-2017.
Rep. Power moves to adopt the -1 amendment dated 2-16-2017. Is there any discussion? Representative Barnhart, did you want to describe that at all? You don't need to.
If there's no discussion, it simply conforms the bill to the issues that came up during the public hearing.
Very good. Is there any further discussion or objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2510 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 2510 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I appreciate that. I'll be a no on the bill. I just am uncomfortable with what this does with landlord-tenant relationships, and I think it creates a possibility for some situations that could be very difficult to resolve. So I appreciate the intent, but I just am uncomfortable about going about it this way.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Boone?
Excused.
Representative Hovey?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Johnson?
No. Vice
Chair
Howard?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. Representative Barnhart, would you like to be carrying this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to now open a work session on House Bill 2511. Thing to say about this one. I would entertain a motion on this amendment.
Chair Helm, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 3-16-2017.
Rep. Power moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendment dated 3-16-2017. Is there any discussion?
Just briefly, if I could, yes. Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Barnhart.
During the testimony, during the hearing, there were some objections made to including RV parks and marina residences. The amendment is intended essentially to deal with the issue that came up on the other bill and to specifically exclude RV parks and marina installations. It's it would require additional work to figure out whether how to do it with them, so we just left it out with the Dash 3s.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2511 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 2511 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no again for the reasons I stated on the previous bill. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any further discussion? Okay, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
Aye.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Colby?
Aye.
Representative
Breschke?
No.
Representative Boxman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Johnson?
No.
Vice Chair Power?
Aye.
Chair Helm?
Aye. The motion passes. Representative Barnhart, would you like to carry this one as well?
Thank you, sir. Yes, please.
Okay. Now opening a work session on House Bill 2514. And I would entertain a motion for an amendment on this bill.
Chair Helm, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3-19-2017.
Rep. Power moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3-19-2017. Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. If I may.
Barnhart.
The amendment actually replaces the bill. If you'll recall, there was testimony during the hearing on the issue of how to administer this particular process. We ended up coming up with a much simplified process that essentially includes the Revenue Department and no other departments. And otherwise, I think that the bill is essentially similar to what the original bill describes. And I think we've dealt with the administrative problem. I should note that this bill does not appropriate any money. What it does is essentially allow the account to be set up so that if we can find money to fund it from some other source, it becomes possible to do that. And that does have a subsequent to Ways and Means, if I recall, in order to set up the accounts.
Right. Very good. Any further discussion? Any objection to this amendment? Seeing none, the amendment passes.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2514 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 2514 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion here? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. I appreciate the good intent here about creating incentives, but we've got a lot of other products in the state that I think certain businesses would love to also have incentives for sales and so forth. So I do think we're picking winners and losers, and I'll be a no, but I do appreciate the intent of the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on this bill? Okay. Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll, please?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative
Benz? Aye.
Representative
Boone?
Aye.
Representative Colby?
Aye.
Representative Rushkey?
No.
Representative Rocksmith?
No.
Vice Chair Johnson?
No.
Vice Chair Fowler?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. And again, Representative Barnhart, would you like to?
I would, but let's send it to Ways and Means first.
Oh, we got it. Yes. Hopefully it'll get back to you.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Committee, we have a work session scheduled for HB 2704, but it's scheduled for a time certain after 3:45. So I'm going to get going on the public hearing and get people testifying there. And when there's a good chance to break from that, we'll come back to this work session and process the bill then. So with that... Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mark. At this time, I'm opening a public hearing on House Bills 2705, 2706, 2707. And Beth, can you give us an overview of each bill, please?
Mr. Chair and committee members, House Bill 2705 would require a water appropriator to install, operate, and maintain a device at a point of diversion or an appropriation to measure the amount and allow a determination of rate and duty of the water being used. The Act also requires a water appropriator to report the water amount, rate, and duty information to the Water Resources Department. There's a dash one amendment available on OLIS that defines claim of right to mean a water certificate, decreed right, determined to claim, permit, groundwater registration, or limited license to divert or appropriate waters of the state for beneficial use. House Bill 2706 would impose an annual $100 management fee on each primary or supplemental water right under a water right permit, water right certificate, decree, or groundwater registration. The Act establishes a cap so that a municipality or water provider would not pay more than $2,500 and a non-water provider would not pay more than $1,000. In addition, House Bill 2706 would require that the fee revenue be used only to fund field, technical, scientific, and administrative duties directly related to water right management. There's a sub-referral to the Committee on Revenue on House Bill 2706. House Bill 2707 would appropriate an unspecified amount from the general fund to Water Resources Department for groundwater studies and investigations or other groundwater data gathering and analysis needed to assess and manage Oregon's groundwater resources, conducted in cooperation with the United States Geological Survey in priority basins determined by Water Resources Department. There is a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. And before I begin inviting folks up, I wanted to acknowledge how many people have come to testify today and from a great distance, and I very much appreciate this. I have a couple of preliminary pieces of information for folks to clarify a misunderstanding that's occurring both inside and outside the building. None of these bills apply to domestic water wells. Okay. Oregon water law is a little arcane, even for those of us like myself that studied it in law school. So sometimes it's hard to understand what the terms apply to. But if you have an exempt well, a domestic water well that serves your dwelling, these bills do not apply to you. And I regret very much if folks have traveled a long way to tell me about their concerns about their domestic water well. These bills are intended to apply only to permit holders and water right holders. And so, again, if you have a domestic water well, these bills do not apply to you. You will not be regulated by these bills, and you will not be assessed a fee. So I just wanted to make that clear in this public hearing. I made that clear to my caucus today as well, to hope, and I'm hoping to get the word out so people can not be afraid that their domestic water supply will be assessed a fee or be required to be measured. That's not the case. These three bills I brought as conversation starters this session because there's already a public conversation going on about water use and management in the state. Many of you may have seen the Oregonian expose this summer, which raised the issue of how the state, including the state agencies, the governor's office, and us, the legislature, are accounting for this public resource. And that expose does not paint a very pretty picture. And that is the case for a lot of reasons. Very close to the same time that those articles came out, we had a Secretary of State's audit finished up on the Department of Water Resources. And the audit brought up many issues that caused challenges for the Water Resources Department, including reduced budgets and reduced staff sizes, and interestingly, the absence of a long-term strategy for the department and its work. I think the department has acknowledged that those are all fair criticism, constructive criticisms, and they've been working on those things. Nevertheless, there are inherent challenges for how we manage water and how we obtain the revenue necessary to support the Water Resources Department staff, such as the Water Masters and their assistants, in doing the job that I think all folks that are concerned with water want to be done correctly. And so that's what these bills try to get at. The bills aren't new. They've been in the building before. The fee bill was here, I believe, last in, as a Senate bill in 2013. The measurement bill in one form or another has been around since I was an intern in this building in 1987. That's how hard these issues are. And when issues are hard to get at, interested people have to come together and talk them through. And that's what I'm intending to do. And to that, I've already brought together a broad stakeholder group that has met twice, once last week and once just yesterday, of folks that are concerned with water from various points of view. And I wanted to let you know who's in that work group. The organizations represented are the Oregon Nurseries Association, Special Districts Association, the League of Oregon Cities, the Nature Conservancy, Water for Life, the Freshwater Trust, Oregon Water Resources Congress, Oregon Environmental Council, the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, Water Watch of Oregon, Trout Unlimited, the Oregon Farm Bureau, and the Water Resources Department has been there to both meetings, and I hope they continue to be there to assist us, and I appreciate that. And Representative Brock Smith is a non-voting member like myself, and I'm chairing that work group. So we have already started this hard work, and I'll tell you right now, I don't expect either the fee bill or the measurement bill to emerge from that work group in the same form that they are now. We have issues of fairness to discuss, who should pay fees, how much, and when, and we have issues to resolve about what type of measurement is useful and what we use the data for, and how can we wrangle that data so that it is both transparent at the right time and actually aids in management of the resource. So we'll be talking about all of that. With that in mind, I welcome your testimony today. And to, I'm going to ask just to start off the conversation, and then after my first panel, Senator Lithicum, I'm going to invite you up. And thank you for being here to testify. What I'd like to do is invite Jeff Stone and Kimberly Priestley and Joe Furia up. And these are folks that are members of my work group. I've asked them to keep their comments fairly brief today. And then as I move through public testimony, I'm going to try to give people about 3 minutes apiece. If you can be concise, I'd appreciate it. My committee will need to disperse at about 5:45, but I'll stay and take all the testimony today beyond that point. So if you've come to testify, be sure that your testimony will be heard today.
4:45.
Yeah, 4:45 tonight. Did I say?
You said 5:45.
Oh, sorry. I'll be here. I do too. All right. Mr. Stone.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jeff Stone. I serve as the executive director for the Oregon Association of Nurseries. Your nursery association is your second largest sector of ag and very water dependent. So we have a lot of interest in this issue. And I was asked, and you have testimony, I'm old school. I bring paper testimony. I can't help it. But I wanted to talk today is that Representative Helm wanted a conversation starter. And I believe that's exactly what we should do and what we have the opportunity to do this session. We have strong opinions, as you will see in my testimony, but it doesn't mean that we don't think that a collaborative approach, as the folks that Representative Helm mentioned in this work group, it's not beyond them to come up with some long-term solutions. There's a reason that these issues continue to come up. 2009 with the fee bill, 2007 with measurement. There's a variety of different times that it's come up, and I think it deserves serious attention. So the nursery industry is committed to work alongside with folks to my right, is that usual for you to be on the right? I don't think so. But to work with a variety of stakeholders to try to get at some of these long-term solutions. So you have detailed in my testimony our opinions. I'm happy to answer any questions when it comes to that. But Chair Helm, Representative Brock Smith, I commend that we will work hard. We will work honestly, and we'll try to get at some of these long-term issues, whether or not they come to fruition this session or it sets us up for a future session. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Chair Helm, members of the committee, my name is Kimberly Priestley, and I'm here representing Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is a river conservation group that works to restore and protect stream flows statewide. As Chair Helm mentioned, we are on the work group, and we do look forward to productive discussions in that forum. But I am here today to lend support to House Bill 2705, 2706, and 2707. Water in Oregon belongs to the public. There are over 89,000 existing water rights that use this public resource. These rights place huge demands on Oregon's rivers and aquifers and require a complicated system of enforcement and administration. The Water Resources Department, by statute, is bound to manage all of these water rights. However, there are gaps in the state's management tools, resources, and science that are critical to good water management, and that's what these three bills seek to address. As to the individual bills, first, House Bill 2705, Measurement and Reporting. State law already requires municipalities and irrigation districts to measure and report water use. Also, the state has required nearly all water users since 1993 to measure and report their water use. These requirements have not stopped, stalled, or otherwise curbed new water use. These users have made measurement and reporting work. However, there are thousands of water rights that were issued prior to 1993 that are not required to measure and report. Less than 20% of the existing 89,000 water rights are measuring and reporting. So, again, this is what this bill seeks to address. And why is measurement important? In a nutshell, what gets measured gets managed. It's a basic common sense tool that is necessary to help water users stay within their legal limits and use water more efficiently. And it also helps the state to carry out its many water management responsibilities, including but not limited, understanding the supply that we have. Details as to how the department uses this data is in our testimony. Second, House Bill 2706, the Water Rights Management Fee. As noted, the department is charged with managing 89,000 water rights. Currently, the state does not charge anything for the use of this public resource, nor for the complicated administration or enforcement of these water rights. The only fee that the department collects is approximately 50% of a one-time application fee. After this application fee, the department does not recover anything from the water right holder for the ongoing perpetual administration of this right. Fees provided by this bill will directly benefit water right users, and it will ensure that Oregon has adequate field staff, science, and research to protect existing rights. And I will refer to our testimony for details on that. And lastly, House Bill 2707, funds for groundwater studies. Groundwater is the engine that drives ecosystems and economies across Oregon. There's broad recognition across the state that understanding our groundwater resources is a critical need. Without an adequate understanding of the capacity of the system, we will be risking farms and ecosystems alike. And while we do appreciate that it's a challenging budget year, if we do not invest in this now, it will cost us much more in the future. In closing, again, we look forward to discussions in the work group, but we do urge support of these concepts. The department needs the capacity of the science and the data to administer the water rights system and to manage the public waters of the state. All interests, farm, city, industry, and the environment will benefit from these bills. Thank you.
Chair Helm, Vice Power Johnson, Power, members of the committee. My name is Joe Furia. I'm the General Counsel and Policy Director for the Freshwater Trust. We are a conservation nonprofit that have been operating in Oregon for over 30 years now, 20 years of which we've spent doing deals with landowners to put more flow in stream. We are testifying here today in support of 2705. I have also submitted written testimony that goes into more details, so I'll keep it short. The Freshwater Trust has embraced the idea that data combined with technology of today allows us to solve our water quality and quantity issues on a pace and scale never seen before. Whether we're talking about prioritizing flow actions as part of place-based planning, upgrading irrigation as part of conserved water projects, the FAST program on 15 Mile Creek, which avoids impacts on ESA-listed fish, or the split-season leasing program, data is at its core. We can no longer afford to put our head in the sand and pretend that our water management issues are just going to go away. Put another way, we can no longer afford to drive blind. We need to know where water is used, how much water is used, and when it's used if we're going to develop solutions that occur on a pace and scale that matters. We believe these issues are solvable. And what's changed in recent history is the availability of technology to make meaningful management decisions based on data. Data is at its core, and 2705 is about getting us good data, usable data, that can allow us to solve these solvable water management problems. Thank you.
Thank you all. Any questions for this panel? Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For Kimberly, if you would. Here, I had just a couple of questions, and you said that the fee for the administration would cover administration for water rights, and I'm just wondering what kind of administration does that need, and how does that fee benefit the permit holders?
Chair Helm. That is a great question. Thank you. So the way the bill is drafted, it is intended that this fee will directly benefit water users. In other words, it will go towards activities that manage their water rights. This includes field staff, so more water masters to work with folks in the field to resolve conflicts. This includes administrative work, such as proving up permits to get to certification. This includes science and data that is necessary to manage the water resource for the benefit of those water rights, including but not limited to USGS studies. And I think the Harney provides a really good example of where that kind of data is essential towards the management of the water rights and future water rights as well.
And follow up.
Yeah.
And I can't remember which one that was. That was on. So I guess that was the 2705. This one, 2706, the primary and supplemental water right each get a fee? Is that? That's what I'm not clear on.
Yeah, Representative Boone, Chair Helm, under the bill as drafted, yes, both the primary and the supplemental would have a fee. But I think as Chair Helm mentioned at the start, these are conversation starters, and we are very interested in talking to the various user groups to see what's workable. I think with all of that's sort of the key. With all of these three bills, we want to see something that is workable. We do not want to see something that will set up failure. So the idea is to move water management forward. And so hopefully out of these discussions, we will come up with a solution that works for everyone.
Final. So 2707, that's what I was looking at, too. It's a separate bill that appropriates $1 million to, doesn't say $1 million, waters or money from general fund for assessment studies of how is that different than, or, you know, it's going to be used the same or differently than the fees that would be incurred from water rights users or permit holders. How are those different then?
Representative Boone, Chair Helm, it's that's a really great question, and it's sort of a stepwise idea. So the idea is that the monies under 2707 would fund the department in the next biennium to move forward with groundwater studies. And then as the fees from 2606 come into play, that will help to bolster that work. And the reason that's important is because it provides a stable funding source. Right now, the groundwater studies are very susceptible to, you know, the highs and lows of the general fund. Some years there's funding, some years there's no funding, and it makes it hard for the state to have consistent data gathering. And so I think that is the idea of the bills working together.
Okay, I have to ask because she brought it up.
Okay.
Final.
One final.
Yeah, one final. So this is a continuing, it can only continue for two years, but is that, you talk about it being a stable funding source.
Yes, and sorry, Representative Boone, Chair Helm, sorry if I was unclear. The appropriation bill is not continual. It's just for a biennium. And then the idea is at the time that is ending, that would be about the time that the fees from 2706 would be kicking in and could pick up the work that was started under 2707.
Thank you.
Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for coming. Just so I'm clear, Mr. Stone, you're a no on both bills, on 2706 and 05?
As currently, Chair Helm, Representative, yes, we are currently, as written, no on all three bills.
Okay, and then the other two are a pro, yes. Mm-hmm. And then my follow-up, if I may, real quick, is Which one of you, Mr. Stone and Kimberly and Mr. Fura, of your organization will have to pay into this fund? Mr. Stone, will your organization have to pay into this fund?
Chair Helm, yes, my members will have to pay into these funds.
I'm sorry, I don't know your last name.
Priestley.
Priestley, will your organization have to pay into this as the bill is currently written?
And if you are speaking to 2706,
and 05.
The fee bill. Okay, so 2706, actually I'll back up a little. Right now, the Water Resources Department is funded primarily by general funds, which means the public as a whole is paying for the management of these 89,000 water rights, which, again, water belongs to the public in Oregon. And so the 89,000 rights are private interests who are using the public's water. And so, yes, I mean, our organization, Water Watch, is... would not be paying into it, but the public is paying for the management of the in-stream water rights, if that is where you're going.
I just want to know, and Mr. Fura, will your organization or your members be paying more if both of these bills pass?
If those bills pass, they affect a lot of the projects that we do with rural landowners.
Okay. But your organization, per se, won't pay anything?
I believe all Oregonians pay for mismanagement of water.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for the years of work on these issues. I appreciate the time and the effort and the thinking. But I can't let go by the isolation of the 89,000 water right holders as though they are using all of the water in Oregon, when, of course, we know from all of our studies that the amount of water actually diverted is about 8%. Somehow you left out that 93-94% that isn't diverted and is necessarily a part of any management that goes with any water. So how is it that we would isolate 8% of those who are using the water and say that they have to pay for the management of 100% of it? It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of people here step up and explain why it would make much more sense if, and has in the past, that we look to the general fund, because water is important, as you just said, to all of us in Oregon, not just those who enjoy a certificate. So what I'd like you to express to me is why are we leaving everybody else out when, as I just pointed out, such a huge volume of water benefits from the management of that which is diverted, but you're asking to be carved out of paying for it? Why is that? Is there a better approach?
Representative Benz, Chair Helm, if I'm understanding the question, I think it was similar to the question we heard earlier, which takes me back to the point that this is the public's water, and the public is paying currently through the general fund for the management of its waters. This includes the management of the 89,000 water rights per se, but also the management of the system. The state is, you know, the state monitors stream flows. They are involved in all kinds of, you know, policy, sort of stakeholder groups, all kinds of management issues. I'm not sure I understood the question. If that doesn't get at it, please let me know.
Thank you. So let me place it a little bit differently. I'm guessing that those 89,000 folks who have water rights certificates are also taxpayers, and they're paying into the funds that then are used to pay for the management of 100% of our water. What I'm suggesting is that when one selects those who have water rights certificates, as was mentioned by our chair earlier, that doesn't include the hundreds of thousands of domestic wells that are also using the same resource. It doesn't include the in-stream water rights that benefit from the management that currently is going on. It doesn't include the huge volumes of water used for electrical power. It does not include those. Now, it may include $100 or whatever it is for one water right for flowing tens of thousands of CFS through one of these dams, but there's no reason we should be avoiding the value of management to those who don't enjoy a water right certificate, unless you're telling me there is. And if the answer is that's because the general fund is picking it up and somehow we're to equate the 94% to the general fund, I would disagree, because I don't see any reason for you to carve out the certificates unless you start carving, and unless you add to them those who are also using water that's not naturally available to them. And that would be the domestic users, that would be the power users, that would be a whole bunch of people that don't necessarily rely upon a water right certificate. So what I'm really getting at is, why did you select the water right certificate holders with such a broad statement of management?
Okay.
as though they in isolation. I just went back to look at the water resources strategy to check to see how many times the word water right was used in that 121-page document. I'm not sure it's there at all. Not once. Okay. How odd. But now we're asking that they pay this money. It doesn't seem right.
So, Representative Bentz, Chair Helm, thank you for the question. I guess I would take us back for a minute to the origination of this fee bill as it is presented today. Back in 2010, the Water Resources Commission was very concerned about funding for the state. And they convened over 30 stakeholders to talk about revenue sources to help provide a more stable funding source for the Water Resources Department. Over the course of 2 years, they had many meetings, at least 5 public meetings, and again, all the stakeholders, I think, at least of the organizations in this room, were there. And they analyzed many, many paths forward, and this was one that they recommended as one of the most reasonable ways to move forward to help fund the department. And so I think the history here is very important to this discussion. It was very well vetted. You know, the commission spent a lot of time on it. And I guess, you know, I would say that I think Chair Helm noted, there is a work group to discuss these bills and the concepts, and there may be alternative paths forward, but I think as a starting point, this is a very solid concept that comes from a very solid source.
Very short. I want to clear, I don't disagree with the concept of appropriate management. Mm-hmm. When you have a water right, the most important thing you can do is live within it and make sure that it is protected so that you can appropriately use the water that you've been blessed to have a water right for. And I'm not suggesting that some sort of a payment for those uses is inappropriate. What I'm suggesting is that we're leaving out an awful lot of uses when we select just the water rights certificate. So I look forward to those conversations, but I'm constantly astounded at how quickly we overlook 90% of the water and focus on just that which is diverted, which again, according to studies from the Water Resources Department, about 8% of all the water in Oregon, probably less this year with all the floods going by us as we speak. No question there, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to thank you now so that we can move along. Thank you for being here, and I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
And at this time, I will invite Senator Linthicum forward. And then, just so you know, you're on deck, John O'Keefe, Curtis Martin, and Rand Campbell. I'll have you up next. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Helm and committee members. It's a pleasure to be here. I also appreciate your opening comments with regard to this issue. And coming from the central and southern Oregon area, our water is one of the most important features of our landscape. Water is what drives our economy, and water is the necessary item that we all need. I'm here today speaking in opposition to all three House bills, 2705, 6, and 7. And the reason I have opposition to those bills is currently Oregon Water Resources Department has statutory authority to do measurement and to assess that data and quantify it. It is a well-known fact that this is their main charter, is to manage those waters and those water resources. And they have legitimate collection points that exist all over the state. There are 200 in-stream water devices that are available today. There are 250 in-stream devices that are part of the USGS system. There are 2,300 direct diversion points that have been chartered, and out of those, maybe 500,000 or somewhere in that neighborhood are actually being monitored and measured, and the data is being collected. What we don't see on the table here is, where is all of that data going? How are we using it? If water management is the key to the solving our problems, then where is all of that data, and where's it going, and how's it being used is the question we should be asking. We have two issues in front of us. One is collecting money to run Water Resources Department. The other is managing the data that Water Resources is supposed to be managing. And if we conflate those two, we'll mix apples and oranges. I think because Water Resources are part of the state enterprise and available to the public and an asset for everybody in the public sphere, that is appropriately general fund money. That's the way it's been allocated in the past. To put a punitive charge on Water Resources, i.e. a tax or a fee, on only those diversion water points is necessarily going to harm that industry. That's why we tax cigarettes. That's why we're increasing taxes on fuel. And so that people don't drive so much, so that people don't smoke so much, so that people don't drive and smoke at the same time. And therefore, what we should be looking at is funding one item through the general fund and then demanding and requiring Oregon Water Resources use that data with prudence and wisdom to help determine what water needs look like. The push all the way down to the diversion point is the my main point of contention, very similar to what Rep. Benz was talking about with regard to why only those people, and those people will bear the brunt of it. USGS data can provide intricate coordination in this effort, and the data is already out there. Since 2007, we've been collecting that data, or that data has been in place. The other thing that's interesting is the need to operate and install these devices at every diversion point becomes particularly interesting with regard to the Klamath project in Klamath County. The nature of that watershed is there's multiple inflow sources. There's Williamson River, Wood River, Cold Creek, Fort Creek, Annie Creek, 7 Mile Creek, Odessa, Rock Creek, all sorts of reaches that are draining into that. And then that open inflow measurement necessarily requires measurement, but we're only measuring on the diversion on the outbound side. There are four main diversion areas coming out of the project, and those diversion areas send water to California. Three of those send water to California. I would suggest if you're going to have an irrigation district divert and tax water right there or fee water right there, we're sending a bill into Tule Lake, California, and I wonder if Oregon Water Resources Department has the authority to do that. In fact, water going through that diversion point also goes into the Tule Lake National Wildlife Refuge, which is also in California. Additionally, in California, right along the border, 100 yards off the border on the California side, there are giant wells that are pulling water, if you will, a straw in the ground that's pulling water out of an aquifer that is essentially Oregon water, right? Do you think the aquifer recognizes the boundary between Oregon and California? And it doesn't. And so what we have is a situation where there are all of these other 90, 92, 94% areas of utilization that aren't going to get taxed, aren't going to get managed, aren't going to be watched in terms of how we utilize our water resources. And I think that's what these bills miss. So I appreciate your work group. I appreciate the effort that everybody has put into it. I appreciate the idea of focusing on how to get better data and manage that data appropriately. In the 2015 results coming from Oregon Water Resources Department, they said 98% of all water right holders were abiding by the rules of their water right, and they had no problem. Again, there's maybe a 2% issue that we should be addressing, and we're not addressing that. Or maybe we should be addressing it, and we're not addressing it. Masters from the 21 counties contributed to that report, and I think that gives Oregon Water Resources glowing review for the work that they're doing, and I appreciate their efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for the senator?
Thank you, Chair and Mr. Chair and Senator Linthicum. I'm just going to ask you the same question I asked the three people in front of you. You're against these three bills, correct?
Correct.
And then the follow-up is, and are there constituents in your area that would be negatively affected by these issues directly?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And I'm going to invite now Curtis Martin, John O'Keefe, and Rand Campbell up. And folks, after this panel, I'm going to move back to the work session on 2704 and get that done quickly. Then we'll go right back to public testimony. Welcome, gentlemen. Go right ahead when you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Helm and House Energy and Environment Committee members, for this chance to testify not only to my concern but also for the constituents that I represent about House Bills 2705 and 2706. I am Curtis Martin, the current chair of the Oregon Cattlemen's Water Resources Committee, a board member of Water for Life, and a lifelong rancher in eastern Oregon. I have also been involved in many water resource issues, most recently as one of the policy advisors to Oregon Water Resources Department on updating the Integrated Water Resources Strategy administered by OWRD. I mention this just to assure you that I have the knowledge, understanding, and some experience to speak to these issues. Also, I have driven over 330 miles one way to be here today because these ill-founded policy efforts are truly punitive in nature. I will make my remarks direct and succinct and to just a few of our concerns with the two bills of 2705 and 2706. HB 2705, to me, is a prime example of a solution looking for a problem to solve. If this bill is directed toward the misuse, overuse of water, I would simply point out that the Oregon Water Resources own data that documents in 2015 stating that on a statewide basis, water use compliance with water rights and regulations were at 98%, also a percentage consistent with the 2014 compliance rate. The current system in place has historically worked extremely well because in reality it is self-policing. By that I am meaning that the next junior water rights holder will make sure that there is not an overuse of or volume of water that is taking place. Also, as testament to the existing jurisdiction of water in Oregon, is that in the year 2015, out of an estimated 89,000 water rights, only 66 individual cases were validated for unauthorized use. Again, this is according to data collected by OWRD. Instead of this punitive measure, it would be much more advantageous to implement the Oregon Water Resources Commission strategic measurement plan that was adopted in 2000. It was updated as recently in 2007. This plan is to identify significant points of diversion. That technical plan identified 2,385 diversions of significance, of which only 1,005 have been equipped with measuring devices. Continuing this strategic plan would identify and install measurement protocols that would mean better management of this resource. Another problematic point of this idea is that it segregates and regulates only out-of-stream uses as opposed to in-stream rights. In the spirit of equality under the law, it should absolutely require the same treatment to the in-stream water right as to the beneficial out-of-stream economic use. In short, it is discriminatory, and that definitely is not right. Now on to address House Bill 2706. In reality, this classifies as a tax and not merely a fee, reasoning that a fee can be appropriated only when a service is being rendered. In this current language, there is no additional services being delivered to the user of the resource. Therefore, House Bill 2706, being a tax, should enjoin the exempted uses, namely domestic and municipal water users, into participating in financing the effort. and not discriminating against the out-of-stream agricultural uses. Also, this fact is financially hostile to many individual legally adjudicated water rights holders. Multiple generational ranching operations possess numerous points of diversion to distribute their water, and the imposition of this monetary burden would severely impact their financial viability from continuing on to the next generation of agriculturalists. These are but a few of the real errors in these two bills contain. In closing my remarks, and on a more conciliatory, solution-oriented tone, I sincerely want to express my personal desire for us to leave the positions of conflict behind us and move toward a collaborative, coordinated, outcome-based discussions of improved management of this most vital resource. Very honestly, I personally would like to engage with you as legislators and policymakers in coming to Eastern Oregon, and in conjunction with our local regional water masters, examine and learn the intricate methods employed in allocating the multiple beneficial uses of water, because it is complex. In exploring the many needs around water, it does not have to be a zero-sum game in which to benefit one entity, we have to take away from another. A current example, but at another forum, I would like to elaborate on how we in the Powder-Brownlee watershed are engaging with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, along with other state and federal agencies, addressing in-stream aquatic habitat needs and water for rural communities' economics. We can come together because what we all want is a vibrant Oregon with rural and urban understanding and respecting each other's culture, heritage, and values. Again, thanks for your time and attention.
Thank you. Welcome.
Chair Helm, Vice Chair Johnson, Vice Chair Power, members of the committee, I am John O'Keefe, President of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. Thank you for this opportunity to share my views on this very important issue. I'm here to speak in opposition of House Bill 2705 and House Bill 2706. First, House Bill 2705. This bill is unnecessary. Currently, the state has the means to require measurement of water if the local water master deems it necessary. The state does not have the staffing necessary to analyze the data that is being collected now. Additional data for the sake of data does not solve any problem. Local conditions vary widely across the state. In Hood River, the water district delivers pressurized filtered water to the edge of the field. In Lake County, individual irrigators apply water from free-flowing systems to the naturally contoured native meadows. Let's talk about these natural systems for a minute. Water enters the floodplain during the high spring flows from multiple diversions, sometimes from more than one stream, blending as it crosses multiple ownership boundaries. Modifying these systems to measure water applied by each appropriator would greatly negatively affect the wetland qualities of these systems. There would be no benefit from measuring these flows. Currently, the landowners are doing the best they can to mimic the natural processes that created these systems. They are doing so legally within their water right. If problems arise, the local water master knows the local situation and has the tools to address these problems. Ensuring that local water masters have what they need to do their job would be a much more cost-effective and realistic approach than requiring measuring devices to be placed on all points of diversion throughout the state. Measuring water creates no more water. Irrigators in these communities have been managing water with the tools they have had available for years. A statewide mandate to install costly, burdensome devices will not solve any problem, but will quite likely create some. Any effort to measure water needs to be thoughtful, appropriator vetted, targeted, and designed to apply to the conditions in the system. House Bill 2706. The Oregon Cattlemen's Association opposed this bill. Ranchers are already overly burdened with government fees and regulation. The cash and non-cash cost of government regulation of production agriculture is significant. Agricultural producers operate on narrow margins, sometimes negative margins. As producers of commodities, they do not get to pass on increased costs. This bill will build additional bureaucracy into the Oregon Water Resource Department that in and of itself will need support funding. Agriculture is important to everyone in Oregon. Everyone eats. It is certainly appropriate to fund the Oregon Water Resource Department out of the general fund. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Rand Campbell. I'm a part owner of Sylvie's Valley Ranch and a student across the street at Willamette University College of Law. First, thank you, Chairman Helm and committee members, for hearing my concerns with the bills. I'm going to start with my concerns about 2706 and then go on to 2705. I'll keep it short, pretty short for 2706, because I think my concerns are similar to a lot of the other people in this room. Simply put, the tax, it's a double tax on private property. Private land itself is already taxed, and the outputs of land, crops, are already taxed. An additional tax is unfair. It's a tax that benefits all Oregonians, but is paid for by ranchers and farmers. Many Oregon farms and ranches are already struggling financially. An additional tax is unduly burdensome for our agriculturalists. Now, on 2705. As many of you know, there are many types of irrigation used in Oregon: canals, center pivots, lateral move lines, flood irrigation, and drip irrigation, and many more. Although well-intentioned, the biggest problem with this bill is how it would work for flood irrigation. House Bill 2705 requires insulation of measuring devices, but doesn't give any description of what these devices would be. With many of these other types of irrigation, water is being pumped at a continuous rate through sizes, pipes of known sizes. Measuring the amount of water in these circumstances flowing from each water right might be possible. With flood irrigation, water is diverted into ditches from rivers and streams. The water then flows across fields and back into the river. There is no measurement device that could reasonably measure the water flow in flood irrigation systems. The only devices that could measure the flow are research grade, require daily monitoring, and are very expensive. As the bill is written, it requires ranchers and farmers to collect data and report the data. This is scientific data. The goal of the bill is to collect accurate data so we can make informed environmental decisions in the future. The bill requires farmers and ranchers to act as researchers without considering their background or training, an unfair burden on our agriculturalists. The purpose of collecting this data is to benefit our environment and to benefit all Oregonians. It is unfair for ranchers and farmers to pay for the devices and spend their time to collect the data. I'm proud to be an Oregon landowner, and I take pride in our ranch's commitment to sustainable land management. At Sylvie's Valley Ranch, we gladly work in partnership with our community, our county, our state, for the common good. What I'm not willing to do is to commit to adhering to standards that are unachievable or unreasonable. Again, thank you, Chairman Helm and committee, for hearing my concerns.
Any questions for this panel? Thank you, gentlemen, for traveling today and providing testimony. And also, thank you for providing Rocky Dahlem for our work group. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just have four more folks here that have checked off that they've traveled more than 100 miles, so I think I'm going to get to them and then go back to the work session. So Woodrow Starr, would you like to come up? And then Tracy Liske, Dave Jensen, and Ronnie, I can't read your last name, but
Daniel, sir.
Come on up, Ronnie.
Here we go.
Oh, okay. Oh, we've got a couple more. Okay. Mr. Starr, please go right ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Hill. Good afternoon. My name is Woodrow Starr. I'm a member of the Board of Trustees for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Now I'm pleased to be here to convey the tribe's support for the intent of House Bills 2705, 2706, and 2707. Now I would add that I represent the Cayuse, Umatilla, and Walla Walla people on our reservation. And we've already submitted written testimony, but I would like to add that, you know, in the Umatilla Basin, that this project has already taken place, and our tribe has worked with the ranchers and farmers. We've got one of the biggest farming areas in the state, and it's been successful, the whole project. But it wasn't an overnight deal. It took many years, a lot of contention back and forth, but we collaborated. We worked with each other through the years. After 75 years of not having salmon in our river, we have salmon coming back to our river. Our waters are cold, clear, and more healthier, and everybody benefits. All the farmers, all the ranchers, and they've already testified before to that fact that they can talk about the contention that came out of it, how they were protective of their water rights. But after collaboration, after many years of discussion, going back and forth, and making small steps, they finally worked their way through to success. And today, we're experiencing that. And my tribe's message is that if we can do that there, we can do that through the rest of the state. You're just starting with the conversation. It's a very, very old conversation. It's been going on for many years, and we're happy to give our support to any of the folks that are involved in it. Well, whichever side they're on, we want to support them, and we want to be able to help them to see it through towards a good, clean water. That's how, for thousands of years, our people have experienced that, and we want to see that for everybody. The many ways of using agriculture in the year, none of us knew that, the bad things that would come of it. But we're on a good path towards rectifying that, towards making things good again for everybody, for our future. And that's how we see it. And we're in it with everybody. So that's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. Whoever's ready next.
My name's Dave Jensen, and I'm reading this report from Scott White, who is the executive director for Klamath Waters Users Association. And I believe all of you have received this document.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The document both is on OLIS, so we have it and the public has it.
Okay. And instead of me going through, because a lot of what's been said already has been said, instead of me reading the whole thing, I do just want to bring in addition, Oregon's administration rule 690-250-0060 already gives Oregon Water Resource Department the authority to require measuring devices when necessary for regulations of management purposes. Therefore, I feel that HB 2705 is a redundant and is putting more burden not only on farmers and ranchers, but also on the people that have to collect this information and to gather it. And I just don't think it's very wise to be doing that. If it would result in something, it'd be different. But it's just really a redundant bill that I see going on. House Bill 2706, Klamath Water Users has long been a proponent to improving science to better understand our state's natural resources. As mentioned above, much effort goes into participating in the supply for the Klamath Reclamation Project. Any new information would only help in this effort. However, the cost of implementing science must not fall in already over-regulated water users in the state. The recent 2013 Klamath Basin adjudication has cost the water users of Klamath Basin millions of dollars, and those costs will continue to grow until we see a decree from the circuit court judge. Separate costs are mounting due to Endangered Species Act litigation aimed to taking water from Oregon residents who currently hold state water right permits. certificates, and claims. This water is essentially being redirected out of the state into California. Not only are our family farms and ranchers not able to use their water rights to grow taxable products in Oregon, they are now potentially being asked to pay $100 for each right that they are not able to use some years. Klamath Water Users appreciates the predicament that the Oregon State and the Oregon Water Resource Department is in regarding to ability to fund key programs to improve the understanding of their resources. Putting the burden of funding those programs should not be on the back of the hard-working families, farmers, and ranchers that already contribute nearly $26 billion to Oregon's economy. For these reasons, Klamath Water opposes House Bill 2706. Now, would $100 break a bunch of farmers out there? Probably not. But there's always that straw that broke the camel's back. And that's just one more regulation. Thank you, Chair Helm, Vice Chair Johnson, Vice Chair, Power, and the rest of the board. Thank you very much.
Chair Helm, Vice Chair Johnson Powers, and members of the Committee of Energy and Environment. My name is Tracy Liske. I'm a fourth-generation farmer in the Klamath Basin. I'm a Farm Bureau member and currently sit on the Board of Agriculture for the state of Oregon. Today, I am not speaking as a Board Ag member, just for information. I also have worked on two or three OWR panels, Fish and Wildlife Screening, Task Force, and different committees. Today, I'm speaking in opposition of House Bill 2705 and 2706. House Bill 2706 puts an unnecessary burden on farmers in the Klamath Basin and across Oregon. This is just another tax that is being put on agriculture. Oregon Ag does not mind paying for services that it uses, but this bill has no benefit for the users, and it's just a revenue-raising bill or just another tax. Ag already pays for the value for their water value in property taxes. In 2001, when the water was cut off in the Klamath irrigators, the property assessment in Klamath County was cut by roughly two-thirds, showing that ag pays for its water rights every year. This bill also attempts to put a cap on the amount that one farmer or rancher would pay. The problem with this, many family farms have multiple properties under different names, which could cost farmers paying different amounts of fees and not counting the exempt wells that it does not address. Through the years, many properties with water rights have changed owners, and OWRD lacks the authority to change the name on these water rights. This would put a big burden on OWRD in staff time and unlikely be able to track down the proper owners. OWRD is already understaffed and has a large backlog of water rights to be finished. For example, the Klamath Basin just went through a 27-year long adjudication process and is years from coming to the final adjudication to be finished. I ask you to oppose House Bill 2607 and not put more financial burden on a few hardworking Oregonians. I would also ask you to oppose House Bill 2705, which would require installation of technically advanced measurement devices on non-exempt water right diversions. As I stated earlier, OWRD already requires certain users to report and lacks the resources to use this information. As I stated earlier, OWRD is already overwhelmed with things to do. Landowners should not be required to provide data at a high cost to the farmer that OWRD cannot use. The water in the Klamath Basin is not a pristine, clean source of water. It has moss, debris, in which can and will plug and affect the ability of measuring devices to work and give accurate readings. This bill authorizes OWRD to impose a penalty of $500 a day with no exemptions for equipment failure. I personally have many measuring devices on certain water systems. I have all this information that will do nothing for saving water. The data for data's sake is a waste of time and money. All my water data shows is that I use less water than my water rate. Water measuring devices will not work in all places of diversion in the Klamath Basin. You have testimony coming from other young farmers and ranchers in the Klamath Basin. This is Jason Flowers testifying on how these will not work in his area. I have many meters. I have 8 meters on my ranch running anywhere from $750 to $4,500 per meter to measure water. These are all on certain pump wells that I can measure. I have 8 other diversions that could cost anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 and only open the gate 3 times a year. These are huge water or payments that give you no information other than I'm not using how much water I can use. OWRJ, to analyze this bill, if it was fully authorized, would have to double its staff, and even if all the measures, if you measured all water users, as I said, this bill does not address non-exempt wells, the data would not save any water. OWRD already has authority to requirement measurement devices when necessary for regulation and management purposes. I ask you to oppose House Bill 275 as a bill that just collects data for no reason and certainly will not save water at a high cost to the farmer and ranchers of Oregon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair, Representative Vince, and various other people sitting in this committee. My name is Ronnie Daniels. I'm a private citizen. I care about my state. I've been in the state almost 24 years. I oppose these three measures for two reasons. Number one, my adoptive father was what y'all trying to do. It starts out like a slippery slope. I'll use my adoptive father lived in California, San Joaquin Valley, except, and he has his own wells. It used to cost $30 a year. They start out with the same measurement in the 90s. Now that same well, if he wants, he needs to drill it down 200 feet. It's going to cost him $70,000, $20,000 just to get a permit to drill on it. I want you to recognize this point also. 89,000, these large water users, y'all saying 8% of the water users in the state. That's $8.9 million, okay? That breaks down in 36 counties over $232,000. So basically, if a hydrologist is costing you $80,000 a year, that's paid state hydrologist to do this type of work, it also is going to cost beyond that, even more, as time goes up, counting the benefits and everything. So the pig is always going to be hungry, and if, as those costs and the living expenses goes up, the taxpayer is going to be paying for it. Number two, property rights issues. If the person pays the rights for their properties as granted in the Oregon Constitution, isn't the money, since we're $1.8 billion upside down, after increasing the budget, $3 billion in the last biennium, are we taking care of business there first? Second thing is, so what we do, if we do want to have this measuring that we have authorized by our state legislator already, as various people testified, aren't we paying those charges on our electric bills? Because in 2020, when they take out the 90 and 140 watt dams in the Klamath Basin, that means less water for consumption for farmers, less water for human consumption to save the salmon and restart their runs. Do y'all take that into effect? And I think that was in 2010 that they had a public hearing on this, an emergency session at that time period, which I visited, and I addressed this issue, plus the money that's taken from Pacific Power to pay for the water and upstreams and everything else. And keep this in mind, water doesn't just flow up and down a hill. It got to get pumped by electricity. So everybody in the last 7 years, electric bills has doubled. Some people's property taxes this past year has gone up $500. I'm just talking in Polk County, Marion County, people down in Southern Oregon. Their property tax has gone up. And my question is, why y'all want to infringe on these property owners' rights? Because it's going to start with these 89,000, then it's going to start with the domestic dwellers. It's going to start with the young ranchers who may have a small operation. Then it's going to start with the young nurseryman that's trying to upkeep and help become an asset into our state. Are we going to keep doing the Californianization of the crap that I see, and they're $10 billion upside down in their budget every year? And yet we ain't taking care of our own budget currently at 1.8. I feel that you're, Chairman Helm, you're on the right path. But I think, as I heard from various other people from throughout the state, Eastern and Southern Oregon and Camp K Falls, there is a public and private issue. But I think the main important I see is I don't think people need to be paying any more money for a right that is endowed with their land deed. And at the last thing I want to address is all the city, county, like I said, I'm going to go back to electricity here. All that water got to be pumped in rivers, pipes, and everything else. They pay a fee already, whether it's the city of Salem through a sewage discharge fee, whether it's Lake Oswego, West Lynn paying for water, or whether it's somebody down in Bend or Eastern Oregon paying for the water for the transfer. Those fees are already there in their budgets. I was strongly encouraged to look carefully and make great decisions and get the money from there and be held accountable. Because I'm tired of, as a, what we see as a private citizen, this Peter and Paul money changing. We're going to rob Peter here and going to give it to Paul later, and we're going to put it off a rainy day. That rainy day never happened since the last time we had a tax return to me when we had a surplus. But yet, I know we got services. I know we're trying to say we're going to get together and get all resources. But I think you got to look at the examples already to the south of us. And don't forget, when they take those two dams out, that's less water for the farmers, less farmers if some areas need for consumption. And I think, would like the guy say, spending $4,000 to $5,000 per device for water measurements, shouldn't that have been already done by our taxpaying people ourselves that we, the people, have appointed you people to be guardians over? It's time for y'all to start looking deep in the pocketbooks. Go through the Department of Administrative Services, and I would suggest that you start looking at all the little mini projects. Because I'll say this. Y'all say y'all gonna, as a veteran of this state, we voted for a bill. Y'all gonna take money from it because we over budget, and you're gonna use that money to supplement, and the money ain't there yet. We can't keep robbing Peter to pay Paul. Otherwise, we're going to be robbing ourselves deep, and we're going to kill our economic abilities to become a really good state that will be welcoming to businesses and agriculture. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, panel. And thanks for traveling today. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Bob.
I've got two more.
Are you ready to go?
Okay. Recess the public hearings on House Bill 2705, House Bill 2706, and House Bill 2707, and get back to them real quick, and open a work session on House Bill 2704. And do I have a motion on this bill?
Chair Helm, I move to adopt the Dash 1 Amendment dated 3-20-2017.
Rep. Power moves to adopt the Dash 1 Amendment dated 3-20-2017. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Good. The amendment passes.
Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue.
Representative Power moves House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Revenue. Is there any further discussion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we confirm what the fiscal impact is?
I think we do have our paperwork.
Yeah, right. That would be helpful.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this is actually a fiscal analysis and a revenue analysis light for the purpose of transferring it to the Revenue Committee.
Could I be more clear? I guess, Claire, I see we've got a potential up to $23 million per biennium. Is that correct? Is that still in the draft, in the Dash 1?
Correct, Mr. Chair and committee members. There is a limitation that the tax rebate cannot or the tax, hold on, sorry, really quickly. Limits tax credit certified to $23 million for any biennium beginning on or after July 1st, 2017.
And then just a quick follow-up, and that would come from the selling of tax credits, is that correct, by DDQ? Is that still?
Yes.
Okay. I'll be opposed, Mr. Chair, just in these budget situations and so forth. We've got to choose between tax credits and teachers, you know, and I've got to come down on the side of teachers, so, you know.
All right.
Chair?
Yes, Rep. Holby.
I'd like to move for a short recess, if I could.
Okay. We'll recess the work session. Patients that you need to take out in the hall, take it there. And we were about to entertain a motion move this to the committee. We're about to entertain a motion to approve this bill or not and refer it to the Committee on Revenue. So, Vice Chair Power.
Yeah. Chair Helm, I move House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue.
Rep. Power moves House Bill 2704 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the committee on revenue. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Benz?
No.
Representative
Boone? Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative
Rusty? No.
Representative Buxton?
No.
Vice Chair Johnson?
No.
Vice Chair Powers?
Aye.
Chair Helm? Aye. I believe that passes the bill. So the motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Committee on Revenue. Thank you, committee. And... this time I'm going to return to the public hearings on House Bills 2705, 2706, and 2707. And I wanted to finish up with the folks that I believe are furthest away, Irene Gilbert and Tom Malams and Gene Edwards as well. And I'm folks in the audience that are waiting to testify, the folks that have been from 100 miles away or so have done a pretty good job staying around 3 minutes. I hope they'll continue to do that. And then I'm going to put the rest of you on the clock so that we can get out of here before 6 tonight. So be prepared. Whoever's ready to start, go right ahead.
Okay. Irene Gilbert, 2310 Adams Avenue, LeGrand, Oregon. Thank you, Representative Helm, and the rest of the committee for hearing my comments. I'm from the Grand Ronde Valley, and we are a part of a water district and have irrigation rights on that district, in that district. And I just kind of wanted to indicate that these water rights provide more than just water. They also, at least in the case of the authority that we belong to, the primary purpose is for agricultural users, but we have a canal system with head gates, and each of those head gates, the one that we're on, serves two different water rights that are within the city limits for fairly large acre or large areas, and also about 3 agricultural users. And as water right owners, we are the ones that maintain the canal system. We clean out the debris, and I provided some pictures to you folks, but I wish I'd provided one of the debris that we collected from one of the places where the canal goes under the road, because the pile of debris is wider than this desk, and it's higher than your thing there, and we pay to take that out to the local dump and get rid of it, because there's a lot of really garbage in it. But so we're providing a service in that we maintain those canals. And one of the canals, because of the people who were on it losing interest or losing willingness to maintain the canals, it was blocked off. And as a result of that blockage, there have been increased problems with flooding that has cost thousands of dollars to people out on the end of that end of town, because this canal system also serves to take away the runoff. And so it's a pretty important thing for the Grand Ronde Valley. We are all... this water right that we belong to is from the mid-1800s. And I wanted you to kind of get a picture of what these water rights look like. And so that's why I provided you with 4 pictures. And the first two are of just the pumps that people are using. They're dropping these into the open canals and pumping water to their prospective areas that they are doing irrigation to. I think the most important ones are the second two pictures. This, the one at the top of the second page is a picture of our head gate that we maintain. There are 2 concrete barriers, and boards go across those barriers to increase the level of the water. And in the upper left-hand side of that picture is a metal gate about this wide. We raise that and lower it as the water is raised to put water into the canal that feeds us and also the 3 agricultural users that are along our line. The The other picture on this page, the bottom one, is showing the water that it was currently running through this connect, through our main canal yesterday. And this is flood water, or runoff water, that's being moved out of the area, out of the valley, and utilizing the canal system to get that runoff from flooding, flooding people. So a couple of concerns that I have with, I'm opposed to both House Bill, both of these House Bills, 2705 and 2706. And one of the things has to do with equity. And I'm very concerned about groundwater, because groundwater is, for one thing, it serves the agricultural needs of people who are growing crops without the aid of irrigation. And so when the groundwater is depleted, those farmers suffer a lot. I'm also concerned that these are all of these wells that are 5,000 gallons or less are exempt from any kind of management. If you're going to manage water, I don't see how you can do that without looking at private wells. I know that the water bill is from 1955, and I kind of agree with Representative Bentz that these bills are discriminatory, but if you're going to look at water rights, I think you should also look at those exempt wells. Another concern is cities are providing water to large industrial users, and the area that I'm aware of is wind and solar farms, and I can tell you that with those wind farms, they are using in excess of 30 million gallons to do their construction. They're primarily purchasing this water from local municipalities, and so no one's tracking those amounts of water, and yet you're looking at small users, small agricultural users primarily, and wanting us to put measurement devices. I can tell you on our water authority, 10 or 15 years ago, they did try to put a measurement device where the water left the river. And after, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, they had to tear it out because it never did work right. So, again, I'm opposed to both of these, and thank you for hearing from me.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Helms, and other committee members for the opportunity to present testimony on both, or actually all three, House Bill 2705, 06, and 07. My name is Tom Malams. My wife and I have a farm and ranch operation north of Beatty in southern Oregon. We traveled 260 miles today, not as far as Curtis did, but we're getting up there, I guess. We've been actively involved in water issues for well over 35 years in our area there. We oppose all three of these bills for a number of reasons. I'm a nuts and bolts type of a person, and I think some of those are nuts and bolts issues like you've talked about already, Chair. Properly installed and operating measuring devices, what does that mean? Who makes that determination of what is properly functioning and the right device? If we put a wrong device in, do we have to tear it all out? It's really a bad idea there. There's a huge difference in cost and operating efficiencies. $500 penalty per day, all I can say is ouch if one or more fails for 30 days before you find out that it's a problem. That adds up really, really quick. In-stream rights should not be excluded. Representative Benz really hit that on the head of the nail. There's a huge amount of water that is going out that there's no accountability to. And I agree, what gets measured gets managed. If you're going to manage it, you've got to manage it all, not just parts and pieces of it. The state and the feds require a lot of this in-stream flows going down the stream to refill the Pacific Ocean for no benefit to us at all. Oregon Water Resources has a statewide, state level, a history of relying on known faulty so-called science. Right now, the computer modeling of groundwater in the upper basin is a prime example of that. It's a blatant example of picking on certain individuals in certain areas, knowing that their model isn't correct. It's not being done properly. The actual amount of water available in Oregon is not really the issue here. I mean, yes, there are some issues, but that's not the main issue. The real issue is the reallocation or redirecting of the public water. Going to California, going for fish or whatever, that was never in the equation before. It's getting worse and worse every year. We have floodwaters right now in the Klamath Basin, and our water was turned off earlier in the season. we can turn back on because of the judicial review. But then they, at the end of the irrigation season, they turn the water off again for all uses, basically. And that water never got turned back on again in reality until mid-November, when we were almost at flood stage. That's how onerous these in-stream claims are. That's not being accounted for here. And many people have more than just one type of irrigation right. Just in our small place, we have stock water, we have irrigation water, we have two diversions rights out of the river. We're going to have five or six of these bills every year. And when they shut you off, you're still going to have to pay that bill. That's not equitable either. And you remember, this is a private property rights in the state of Oregon. House Bill 2706, you can call it what you want, but it's still nothing less than a water tax. That's what it is, it's a water tax. It should be labeled as such and voted on as any other new tax would be. This tax could easily be doubled or tripled. As I said before, for larger larger operations than ours, it would be devastating. Would a $500 or a $100 fee cripple anybody? No. By itself, no. But you add them up over time, especially when you have your water turned off and you can't even use the water you're being taxed on. It is very likely many water wells would be paying this tax under a call on the water. The state of Oregon really does not have a revenue problem either, I believe. It has a spending problem, and Oregon Water Resources Department is no exception. They do a necessary job. They do a necessary job. But even before I was a Klamath County Commissioner, it was very clear a very major focus was on creating more and more revenue. Economizing and or downsizing was never discussed that I can ever remember. In our private business or in local county government, living within our means has always been a major focus in order to survive. Only in government can you get away with doing this type of stuff, and it's not correct. In rural Oregon, farming and ranching is a hard way of life. I think we all know that. We accept that. But the hardworking citizens certainly do not need more out-of-control government adding more and more regulations and taxes on top of what we already pay. Thank you again for your time and consideration.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Chairman Helm and members of the committee. My name is Jean Edwards, and my husband and I own a blueberry farm in western Washington County near North Plains. We've been growing blueberries since about 1980. I'm coming here as also a member of the Board of Water Watch of Oregon. I believe that along with our water right comes a responsibility to manage the water appropriately. And because of that, I worked with our local NRCS this last 2 years to install a measuring device in our creek and some other improvements to our farm. We've invested in that meter and as a result have had been able to reduce our electricity costs for pumping. We realized we were using probably too much water. There's a lot of technology coming out now. We're taking advantage of that. NRCS was important in that these meters are a lot simpler and easier to use. Technology's been moving by leaps and bounds. Satellites and all kinds of things can be involved in the future, and I expect that's the future we'll see. My testimony speaks about the cost sharing with NRCS, and I believe that is available to other farmers throughout the state. If they request it, they can obtain it. That's the situation we have in Washington County, but I think it, according to our representative there, it can be used elsewhere, that model. Where I stand today is I am beginning from the point of view that the Oregonian article was accurate. I haven't heard any counter arguments that we do have a problem. We have a significant problem, and it's only getting worse, having to do with groundwater tables dropping in the state and across many of the basins. It's not a problem everywhere, but because of the nature of hydrology, I believe that a lot of these, the surface and groundwaters are interconnected and must be managed in that format. In addition, I want to reference, as I do in my testimony, that the audit of the Water Resources Department says that they need to focus more attention in this area. So that's where I'm coming from, is the point of view of the Oregonian article and current criticism of the Water Resources Department. I was also pleased to hear the chairman's comments at the beginning of the hearing that this is a starting point, and I really support all three bills as the beginning of that starting point and dialogue. We're not going to solve all problems here today, but I'm optimistic that this can be resolved. We're not the only state to have these problems in the West. We can learn from others just in a cursory review of other states and what they're doing. We are quite a bit behind in our technology and using science and tools at hand without breaking the bank on this. I think it's in our best interest for all of us to support in-stream flows and water, but I don't view these as a grab or a compromise of someone's in-stream or their irrigation right. I am confident that I have that right of a water user for my appropriate amount of money. I'm not threatened by rules like this. My adjudication of my water right is sound and determined, so I don't understand the concern about that this is a water grab. I don't see what this is. It's more of a measuring and an accountability device that we certainly need from now and into the future. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to address them. Thank you.
Questions for this panel? Thank you again for traveling today, and we appreciate your testimony. So, committee, I know that it's past our allotted time. If you desire to stay, you're more than welcome to. But before I lose a quorum, Representative Boone would like a chance to vote on a couple of the bills that we voted on very quickly before she arrived. And so...
Chair Helm, I request unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow me to be recorded as voting aye on the motion to something on the following bills: House Bill 2134, House Bill 2510, and House Bill 3055. It will not change the outcome of the vote taken.
Representative Boone requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended to allow her to record a vote on the motion to pass House Bills 2134, 2510, and 3055. It will not change the outcome of the vote. If there's no objection, it will be so ordered. Objections? Okay. It is so ordered. Can the clerk call the roll on each bill, please? First on 2134. Just for Rep. Boone.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, we could change the votes.
Roll of one.
Yeah. Do you want to separate them out or?
Yeah. Rep. Boone, how do you vote on House Bill 2134?
Aye.
And Representative Boone, how do you vote on 2510?
Aye.
Boone, how do you vote on 3055?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, committee. At this time, I'm going to continue the public hearing and invite forward.
Thank you.
Chandra Ferrari.
Oh, it's your turn.
Yes, ma'am.
Bob Olson and Lori Grant.
At least you have one friend here.
I have to stick it out with you, Ken, but I have a meeting with LRO on my housing bill.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Chair Hill, members of the committee, my name is Chandra Ferrari. I'm a water policy advisor with Trout Unlimited. TU is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the conservation of cold water fish species and their habitat. We currently have a full-time staff of about 10 working across the state in coordination with over 3,000 members. A significant portion of our work in the state involves cooperative projects with ranches, farms, and agencies to address water needs for both the environment and agriculture. TU is here in support of House Bill 2705, 2706, and 2707. We believe that each of them will help ensure the sustainable and efficient use of Oregon's water resources. We must be able to optimize the use of our limited resources if we are going to meet the challenges of population growth, climate change, and increased drought conditions. And we sincerely believe that an increased understanding of water use will benefit many different stakeholders, including water users. In our experience working with landowners throughout the West, we have found that water use information is particularly helpful to water users as they consider the costs and benefits of potential efficiency investments and or water right changes, such as leasing arrangements. For example, in Oregon, TU is currently implementing two infrastructure improvement projects on very large private diversions. In both cases, the lack of information on actual water use in recent years has impeded those water users in making informed decisions about their project design and future water needs. We needed to gather that information before we could begin to design the project. However, once we had that information, the water users were confident that these projects made sense for them. And at the end of the day, these projects resulted in upgraded facilities for water users, increased voluntary water conservation, and improved in-stream flows, all while sustaining the same levels of production on the ranches. Essentially, what we have found is that monitoring water use allows the irrigator to better manage their own resources and can provide significant public benefit in the process. So this is just one benefit from measurement of water use that I wanted to highlight today, and I would refer you to our testimony to see some others. We understand that there are concerns with the existing language of the bills. We believe that the concerns are legitimate but not unworkable. We expect these concerns to receive significant discussion in the stakeholder work group. We look forward to contributing to the discussion regarding how these concerns can be meaningfully addressed and how we can craft any new requirements to make them feasible for water users with respect to both cost and technology. We appreciate the comment or the opportunity to comment on these bills, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Helm, Representative Reschke. My name's Lori Grant, and I'm the Water Program Director for the Oregon Environmental Council. We work to advance collaborative and equitable solutions to Oregon's environmental challenges. And I'm happy to be here today to speak in support of House Bills 2705, 2706, and 2707. And I also want to thank Chair Helm for giving us the opportunity to also be part of the work group charged with developing workable solutions to achieve the goals of these bills. And let me just draw attention back quickly to the goals of the bills. They are to significantly increase the knowledge base of Oregon's water resources, including understanding how much water is actually being used and the state of our groundwater resources. It's also to ensure the Water Resources Department has the resources, staffing, and tools to manage and optimize our limited water resources into the future. There's no doubt or disagreement that Oregon is experiencing water scarcity on both sides of the mountains, a trend that is expected to continue and worsen. I also have submitted more detailed comments, so in short, measurement and reporting of actual water use under nearly 89,000 water rights is a key piece of the equation. We cannot know how much is in the bank account if we don't track how many checks we write. In addition to providing the department with valuable data to manage our water sustainably, the measurement factor is also important to the management of and cost efficiencies of agricultural operations, as you just heard from Gene Edwards. Also, there's a number of letters that were submitted to you in writing that I urge you to review, from specifically Ken Bailey, an orchardist in the Dalles, Mary Wall, a fourth-generation rancher on the South Coast, and Bob Hunter, a wine grape grower in Jackson County, who point to the efficiencies measurement provides. We also support the annual water management fee to provide a stable funding source for the field staff who administer those 89,000 water rights, making sure senior water right holders have access to their rights, balance use among water right holders and in-stream needs, and provide certainty to water users, as well as for the technicians and scientists who gather and analyze water availability. Just yesterday, the work group had a presentation from department staff, and they described the process for responding to a water dispute. It's a very time-consuming and labor-intensive process, especially if there is not already measurement and other data available. And the technical staff and water masters have been cut over the years. They are spread thin over vast service areas. So this is, in fact, a fee for service. And the Water Resources Commission recommended it as a fair and equitable solution to increase the department's capacity to administer privately held and municipal held water rights. And the same approach is used in a number of other states at comparable rates. Finally, there's a critical need to better understand our groundwater resources. With most of the state's rivers fully allocated in dry months, the majority of new water rights applications right now are for groundwater. Yet the state's understanding is lacking in several regions. Adequate funding to fill these gaps is essential to ensure water rights can be issued without impacting other users, streams, lakes, native fish dependent on groundwater. I want to emphasize the importance of sustainable water management to Oregon's people, farms, businesses, fish, and wildlife. Thank you.
Chair Helm, committee members, Bob Olson, it's a privilege to be here today in relation to our state fisheries and many Oregonians who are buying fishing licenses. Over 500,000 licenses were purchased in our state last year. The Association of Northwest Steelheaders and other conservation-related organizations strongly support the concept in these important, long-needed bills. My statement today is really personal. About 10 years ago, I first became interested in this set of issues when attending my first hearing on a fish bill and ended up sitting through a long hearing dealing with whether the state should measure how much water is being extracted. I was dumbfounded that there seemed to be little interest in finding out who is using how much of the public resource water. Now, in 2017, there is more general knowledge about the direct relationship between large-scale water consumption and the well-being of fish and habitat. We now have an understanding of the negative consequences resulting from shrinking stream flows and aquifers. Fish and the rest of us will significantly benefit with more accurate measurement of water use. Most of us can relate to groundwater as the major source of our drinking water, but it also supplies base flow for rivers, lakes, and wetlands. This is something that maintains the health of our fisheries and ecosystems. Quality water will become more and more of a precious commodity in the years ahead. There is no question programs to restore and protect stream flows now require more attention from the state. Climate changes and population pressures have increased the stakes. In order to have the Water Resources Department fulfill its responsibilities, this legislation asks water users to share in the cost, and this cost is for managing their water rights via annual fees. 10 years ago, I was shocked to see very little political support here at this committee level for advancing water measurement and management legislation. This session, on behalf of fish and the public, you have the opportunity to advance positive change and doing it at a time when it is really needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
No.
Thanks. Thank you for your testimony and being here today. Next, I'll invite Jared Henderson, Greg Bennett, Tim Wynn, and Peter Kanagi. Thank you all for being here, and go ahead, whoever's ready first, doesn't matter, who goes first?
Yeah, I can go ahead and begin. Thank you, Representative Helm, Representative Reschke, for staying and listening to our testimony. My name is Timothy Wynn. I'm a farmer just outside of Corvallis, northeast a couple miles along the Willamette River. I own and operate my family farm, and we farm a total of about 640 acres of cropland and consider ourselves average when compared to the other NORPAC Foods Growers members that we are part of. All of our cropland that we operate is able to be irrigated, and we enjoy the use of water rights associated with all the land that we own or rent. Within our operation, we make use of 14 separate water rights. Spread across land owned by 18 different entities, including myself and three other family members. As I understand this bill, we would not enjoy any benefit of the $1,000 cap. We would have to pay a total fee of $1,400. In my farm community, I can observe several other farm operations in nearly the exact situation. While others possess much fewer rights for a similar acreage, the bill will result in farmers like myself paying a significantly higher total fee than many other farmers of the same size. For financial equity alone, I have to oppose the bill. And this is, I'm sorry, reference to Bill 2706. In addition, according to this bill, wells that are classified as exempt will not be required to pay the $100 fee. This will lead to an omission of a growing number of small farm operations who are able to irrigate irrigate their operations from a domestic well or some other small size well which has been included in the exempt category. I am aware of at least four farm operations that fit this situation in my neighborhood alone. The point to keep in mind is that this is the responsibility of the Oregon Water Resources Department is to manage the waters of the state in a manner that benefits all citizens of the state of Oregon. Our predecessors who drafted our water rights system that we currently use acknowledge the civic benefit of putting water to beneficial use, for example, with irrigation. I contend that all Oregonians still benefit greatly from the benefits originating from all agricultural water rights that are legally exercised. In reference to testimony against House Bill 2705, within our same operation, those 14 separate water rights also have a like number of diversions, which would all be required to have a measuring device installed. I contacted Stettler Supply just this morning to find out exactly what it would cost me to do just that. I came up with an average equipment cost of about $1,800 per diversion, which was kind of supported by some earlier testimony. I also just adding $200 of my own personal labor to install those devices, keeping the cost as low as possible, would amount to $2,000 per site, which is a total of $28,000 to my operation alone. Right now, I'm struggling within my operation to keep a line of equipment that's safe to operate out in the fields. And so I would contend that we would have to jeopardize our own farm safety to fund this kind of an expense when I don't believe this kind of expense is necessary. The burden that this bill would place on all irrigators is completely unnecessary for the collection of needed data for the management of planning the Oregon's water resources. There are several proven methods of measuring, calculating, and recording water used for irrigation purposes. The NRCS uses several of these methods very successfully to administer many of their programs. On our water use and application rates for crop production reasons, none of this is foreign to, excuse me, I'll go ahead and conclude.
Thanks.
To say that if the Water Resources Department needs irrigator use data from our industry, they merely need to find an efficient way to ask us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Chairman and remaining board member. Thank you for listening to me. My name is Jared Henderson. I farm in Lane County between Eugene and Junction City along the Willamette River. I own and operate Thistledown Farm. I have a large roadside stand where I sell produce that I grow. I sell it directly to the public. Almost all my farmland is irrigated. I'm here in opposition of House Bill 2705 and 2706. I have at least 26 irrigation wells, and I probably forgot a couple of them, and I don't want to buy metering devices for each one of them. I can't afford it. Some of my fields are less than 10 acres, and we're not a big farm. And where I'm at, there's no shortage of water, and I don't see as how I have to put a metering device in my well, but none of the residential people that have 5 acres, they're totally exempt. And it seems to me if you're going to measure the amount of water being used, everybody should have to comply. It doesn't seem fair to me. For a small and medium-sized farms, this is going to be difficult if it's passed. And so I think it's very discouraging to younger farmers that are trying to get started. And I just I think it's a really bad idea. You know, every once in a while, the news station or the newspaper comes out and says, well, USDA just did a survey in the state, and we can't figure out why there's no young farmers. The average age of the farmers is 60 years old. Well, I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons, is stuff like this. It's very discouraging. That was for the metering device bill. For the water rights bill, I have some of my water rights are only a few acres, and it's one field could have several water rights covering the whole thing. And to pay, I mean, it's capped at $1,000, but I own a percentage of the family farm. They would have to pay up to $1,000, and I own farm ground of my own. I'd have to pay. I got a lot of water rights that are for small acreages because where I farm, the fields are small. And I just don't think I should have to pay multiple times for the same thing. And when I bought some of the land, the water rights was a lot of the value. And I think I already pay for that in my property tax assessments. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Representative Helm, Representative Arafi. My name is Peter Kanegi, and like to farm in Benton County, downstream from Tim, about 10 miles. Our operations are fairly similar, or raise a lot of the same crops. We both pump out of the river. Unlike him, I don't have quite as many water rights and wells. I have a total of, I think, and I'm guessing here, but 5 or 6. They're not pieces of paper I pull out of the file and look at very often. I'm not even sure the state has a record of them. We just have them as pieces of paper that are filed with our deeds. And we also purchase water from the Bureau of Reclamation. We pay $8 an acre foot for about 193 acre feet every year, which we don't always use. The area that we farm in, Tim, Jared, he's got a brother. We're in an area that doesn't have a water issue. These bills are a solution in search of a problem and you're collecting data that there's nothing really to do with it in our area. As far as the measuring bill, installing devices is one way to measure it. When we purchased a couple of pivots with cost share equip money from the NRCS a number of years ago, and they have us for 3 years as part of that contract to keep track of how much water we use. And we base that simply when we turn a pivot on and program it to put on a half inch, inch and a half, and it covers so many acres. You can figure it out that way. It's not rocket science to do that. And, getting to the installing and maintaining measuring devices, it's not just the cost, and Tim talked about the labor, but it's also the headache. I mean, how many days is it going to take each of us as farmers to go out and design, upgrade all of these different systems we have, and then to keep track of it every year and report it? And where is the benefit to who? I just don't see it there. Granted, we are in a different situation than areas in other parts of the state where the groundwater aquifer is dropping. And so it's not fair to treat the whole state the same. If there's issues and water needs measured in some areas where it's tight, that makes sense. But to do the whole state is crazy. There was one other point. Well, that's enough.
Thank you, Peter. Good to see you again.
Chairman Helms and a member of the committee, my name is Greg Bennett. I'm a third-generation farmer in the Lake Labiche area. I farm along with my two sons. We grow hazelnuts, blueberries, wheat, grass seed, and onions. We, as well as other farmers in our area, have acquired surrounding properties to keep up with the demand and to progress as a company. Each of these purchases included well and water rights to the well. As I stand in the middle of one of our larger parcels of our farm, I look around and I can count 8 to 10 wells. Now, on any given day, we do not use all wells, and during our peak season, we only use maybe four or five wells, depending on the rotation of our crops. House Bill 2706 is not fair to farmers who own multiple water rights. New fees should not be imposed on just one group of persons, such as farmers. Adding a yearly fee to these rights is not only a long-term solution to funding the water district. If this bill passes, farmers will have to find another way to make up for the loss. Even $100 a year is one less hand in the field a day. In closing, I want you all to think about these fees and relate to something you own, like your television. Now, let's say you own more than one TV. Most homes have two or three televisions. Would you agree to pay a yearly fee for each TV, whether you use it or not? I thank you for your time.
Thank you. I got to move on, Peter.
Less than 2 minutes. I remember my one point, and it's just that if you're going to put a fee, it should be based on the acre feet of the water right rather than a flat water right. It's not fair for somebody with a very small water right to be charged the same as somebody with a very large water right.
All right. I'll remember that. Thank you all. Next up, I've got Wayne Beckwith, Jerry Schmidt, and Marianne Nash.
I'm going to step out.
Okay.
But I'll be back.
Thank you.
All right.
We might be done by then. Yeah. And this is our second to last panel, folks, so four more people after this, as far as I know. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Chair Helm, Representative Reschke, my name is Marianne Nash, here today on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. Thank you for the opportunity to comment today, and as well as to be able to participate in the work group on these bills. I don't think I can say it better than the farmers in the room did in terms of the burden that these bills would impose, some of the inherent equity issues, and just the real facts of what these costs could cost Oregon agriculture, which is the second largest economic driver in the state, and by its very nature requires water to be successful. So what I will do is refer briefly to some of the testimony in the record from folks that couldn't make it today, including Jason Flowers, who Tracy mentioned, who has a primarily flood irrigated system down in the Klamath Basin and that he operates with his family. This would be a huge burden. He's a young farmer trying to get his operation going, and those are really real costs to these bills. Sam Sweeney, Ken Holliday had similar points in their testimony, I think are worthy of particular consideration. With that, I also wanted to speak briefly on behalf of Farm Bureau on House Bill 2707. We have long supported funding general funds for groundwater studies and would absolutely support funding for that, whether it's through 2707 or through the policy option package that the department has put forward, which we will also be testifying in support of when their budget comes up. So with that, I will conclude and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Jerry Schmidt. I'm here today representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. You have my testimony. So you've heard a lot of testimony today, and I don't want to drag it on. We are opposed to 2705, which is the metering portion of it. Our members manufacture those devices. We install them. We also take the measurements, so we have a huge financial interest in this. However, at this point, we see a number of problems with the bill that makes it unworkable. I outlined a few of those in my testimony under problems. Just to let you know, if you're retrofitting a well with a device, it'll cost you anywhere from 3 to 6 times as much as a normal cost. So you had a few figures here of 2,000 times that by 3 or 6 if you're actually retrofitting. So 2706, we've long supported funding to the department, but it has to be funding that's universally spread over everybody, and I have not figured out a way to do it other than general funds. And unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with. I don't know of any other method to do it. 2707 is the department's bill for gathering water data. We are a strong user of water data. We use it, all our members use it all the time. I gave you kind of a rundown in my testimony to give you some history on that. We're strongly supportive of it. If, in fact, you find that this package is too expensive, I would encourage you to look at another alternative, which is looking into water level data, their well observation network, where they actually measure wells. And if you could increase the number of those wells being monitored, it's another way to get at the kettle of fish and maybe far less expensive. So just a note in case that option arises to the committee.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
In our last panel, Bob Van Dyke, Peggy Lynch, Garrett Rosenthal, and Jody Weiser. And let me make a comment, folks, for you and whoever the three people are that are watching us online. Believe me, if I thought I could wring more money for this work out of the general fund alone, I would do it. But our natural resource agencies are continually left out in the cold when it comes to budgeting, and so we do need other alternatives. Whoever's ready,
Mr.
go ahead.
Chair.
Where's Garrett?
He had to leave. Oh. He has another meeting in Washington County.
Rats. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, thank you very much for staying and listening. My name is Peggy Lynch with the League of Women Voters of Oregon. And as you well know, you will see me almost every day in the Natural Resources Subcommittee for Ways and Means, because we do follow those issues. But I do want you to understand that we also follow this issue. That's my file in 2013 for the water fee discussion, because we did work on that issue, and as you heard from others, how that discussion moved forward, with the Water Resources Commission being the advocate in trying to find an answer to stable funding for the department. I served on the water Integrated Water Resources Strategy work, and served the second time this last year on their update. The biggest thing, so on. I'll start with 2705. The first thing that we all heard this year with the Integrated Water Resources update is data is critical. We can't manage. We don't know how to deal with things unless we have the data. So that's, you know, very clear, and you heard that from lots of other people. Climate change and drought, two driving factors that are new and different from the work that was done in 2012 that we addressed. I'm thrilled that you have a work group working on this issue. I think that there will be things like prioritizing which things you want to, which areas or which specific water rights ought to be measured. I'm just thrilled that you're working on solutions. On 2706, you have a letter in OLIS about our support. The natural resources agencies get 1-2% of the general fund. Other natural resource agencies charge fees. You heard Bob Olson a few minutes ago talking about the 500,000 people who pay for fishing licenses. The general fund will still be paying for water management, even if you pass a version of 2706, because we still need ODF&W to do some studies. We still need DEQ to deal with water issues. The Department of Agriculture, the state is paying for a person to advocate for water quantity in Oregon. There are other agencies who also, almost every natural resource agency, unfortunately, has to charge fees for some of the services that they provide in order to make them happen. So this is just one of those that I hope that you find some sort of an answer for. As for 2707, we are supporting the governor's budget, as Marianne Nash just said. The truth is, we would love to support this bill. But and we are hopeful that everybody in this session will find an answer to revenue, to additional revenue. We are working at efficiencies wherever we can, but we need money in order to do this. And although I would more than happy to have more than the two and maybe the three groundwater studies that do take 4 to 6 years, by the way, that would be wonderful, but at this point, we will be silent on 2707. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Peg.
For the record, Jody Weiser with Tax Fairness Oregon. So we support all three of these bills. It's obvious that water has long been an issue, and it's been an issue in the valley, not just on the eastern side of the state. When I dug my first well in Washington County, I was told, well, we'll get some water at 90 feet and we'll get some water at 130 feet, but we'll probably want to go deeper because the surrounding wells, which were primarily farm wells but also some residential wells, had been using up the ground resources. So that's 45 years ago in Washington County. So this is not just the east side of the state problem. In Portland, people pay $100 a month for residential water. To suggest that a farmer should pay $1,000 a year for farm water, which is a far higher use, does not seem unreasonable at all. And in Washington County, we're soon going to be diverting water from Willamette River. The cost will be borne by the ratepayers, not by the general fund. If Intel and the residents of Washington County should pay for their water infrastructure, it's hard to understand why people in rural areas shouldn't be willing to contribute to pay for their own infrastructure. And what we're hearing is a real unwillingness to do so. If the users whose property values are totally dependent upon water are unwilling to help solve the problem, then it's certain that the general fund should not be used, because otherwise the people who aren't benefiting from the increased value of the land are paying for somebody else's values to be improved with no benefit to them. Thank you.
Chair Helm, Representative Reschke, thank you for staying late tonight and taking this testimony. Thank you for introducing these bills. My name's Bob Van Dyke, for the record, Wild Salmon Center. We're a conservation organization that promotes conservation and sustainable use of wild salmon ecosystems across the Pacific Rim. We support all three of these bills. We recognize, though, that there is a work group. I guess at core, we support the concepts here and advancing these concepts. We understand that there are issues about equity and efficiency and the best way to fund the work that needs to be done. Rather than repeating the points that were made earlier, I guess there's just two points I want to make here that I don't know that they've been made clearly. Two reasons for urgency. One is the Oregon Water Resources Department 2015 assessment about demand, projected demand for water in the state. And they project there'll be 15% higher demand for water by 2050. The second thing I want to note is the third Oregon Climate Assessment Report that was just released in January. There's a section on water resources there. My testimony, I've submitted for the record as well, but I want to read you a quote or two. So the water resources section starts by saying this: warming temperatures, changes in participation, and decreasing snowpack are already having and will continue to have significant impacts on hydrology and water resources in Oregon. So that the changes are here, and there are more changes coming over time. It goes on to say, regarding supply and demand, that these changes are expected to strain the ability to meet the many and varied water needs of Oregonians, namely irrigation, municipal drinking water, industrial activities, hydropower, flood control, fisheries, wildlife, and recreation. So these changes are coming. There will be more people, more demand for water. Climate change, in particular, is affecting the character of precipitation. So we're going to get, over time, less snow. The timing of runoff will change. The amount of runoff will change. So it seems to us common sense to try to get ahead of this by figuring out, where do we need to measure? Where is it most important to measure? How are we going to pay for that measurement to happen? everybody in this state, me, my kids, we're all going to be served well by having a thriving agricultural industry. We're being able to have industry expand that needs water, being able to have residential users have the water that they need, and also being able to take care of our fish and wildlife habitat. And to do that, we need information, good information, that allows us to know we're making the right choices over time. So we're eager to be supportive however we can. We appreciate the introduction and interest in these bills. And thank you again for staying late today.
Thank you for coming. Any questions? Thanks so much for your testimony. Appreciate it. With that, that's all of the folks that are signed up to testify. I again appreciate everybody that traveled, some of you a great distance, to be here and provide your testimony today. Appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to close the public hearings on House Bill 2705, House Bill 2706, and House Bill 2707. And I'm going to adjourn the House Committee on Energy and Environment. House Committee on Energy and Environment.